Hey, this is Jim. Just a quick note before we start the podcast that this episode, like all the episodes this week, was recorded Sunday. That means that the trivia contestant on today was not privy to the information conveyed earlier this week on the podcast. That's important, all right? Just want to make that clear for the record. We don't want to get any kind of quiz show trouble providing answers to contestants. So there you go. Recorded Sunday before any of this week's episodes were posted. All right, on to the show.
Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
We're throwing Paul out of his rhythm. Stop with all this banter.
I know, that's what I'm trying to do here. Trying to, you know, mess him up a little bit. Day three of music trivia here on Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan. I'm your quiz master.
And I'm Patrick Foster, your scorekeeper.
Yes, Patrick is the scorekeeper and the final judge and arbiter of all answers.
I have a pencil in case it's needed.
And there is math involved. It's fairly simple math, but there is math involved. And the way this works is we're going to ask Paul here five questions per category. The categories are all decades of music, so you're going to get questions from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, Paul.
Okay.
And you're going to get the same questions, the same five core questions in each category that each of the other contestants this week gets, all right? But there's one little twist is at the end of each round, you can decide if you want five bonus questions from that decade. You can only use this once, and you can't go back. So if you passed on a decade, you can't go back and ask for the bonus questions from a previous decade, all right? So at the end of each one, we'll ask you if you want the five bonus questions or not. You can use that one time, okay? So with that, gotcha. We should introduce today's contestant, Paul Hayden.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Paul. Thanks for playing.
Thanks for having me.
Paul, where are you located?
I'm in Wilmette, Illinois, a little bit north of Chicago.
Yes, and... are you a fan of the Chicago sports teams?
I am a fan of the White Sox. Hiding my head in shame. and the Bulls and the Blackhawks.
Yeah. I was going to say it's kind of rough to be a Chicago sports fan lately, right?
It's rough, yeah. And there's not a whole lot of optimism at this point. none of the teams are looking like they're going to do much soon.
I give you credit for wearing that proudly, though. Saying you are a White Sox fan on a podcast, it's not easy.
Well, can only get better. Things can only get better.
That's right.
Right.
I would imagine that's very true.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. So I mentioned the five categories, the five questions, the chance for the bonus question. I mentioned that Patrick will be keeping score and will be the judge of any ambiguous answers, what qualifies and what does not. Paul, we also need you to promise that you are not Googling any information or using any other sort of enhancement, any AI or anything like that, right?
None of that. Nope.
Okay. Just the answers come from the brain of Paul Hayden.
That's right.
Scary as that sounds. Okay. Yes. All right.
Okay. And at the end of the week, we will declare a champion. So you have a total possible score of 30, and whoever scores the highest is the champion, and we'll get to pick a prize from our prize pack, and also we'll gain much, much podcast community respect. All right.
That's right.
Which is more important, really.
Yes.
Okay. Now, here's the one more question for you, Paul. Before we get started, do you want to know the score to beat, or would you rather keep that a mystery?
I'd rather not know.
Okay. Okay. All right. We'll reveal that after you've answered the 30 questions. All right.
Good.
Paul can't hear us right now, but the score to beat is 21. All right. Let's get started here. We start with the 1950s. And question number one. Wait for Patrick to get in position.
Ready.
Okay. All right. Paul Hayden. Question number one, 1950s. What is Little Richard's last name?
Penniman.
Bang. Well done, Paul. First one to answer that question correctly.
Yeah. All right. Off to a strong start here.
Great start.
Question number two. In the song Summertime Blues, what international institution does Eddie Cochran propose to seek help?
United Nations.
That is correct.
Very
well
good.
Done, Paul.
All right. You're not Googling anything, right?
No.
All right. Okay.
No, I'm not.
All right. You're off to a very strong start. All right. Question three. This 1959 Chuck Berry song was later covered by Linda Ronstadt, the MC5, and Jonathan Richman and the Modern Lovers. What is that song?
Back in the USA.
That is correct. Well done. It's off to a perfect start.
Yes.
3 for 3.
Question number four. The Day the Music Died was February 3rd, 1959. Buddy Holly, Ritchie Valens, and the Big Bopper all perished in a plane crash. What was the Big Bopper's signature hit song?
Chantilly Lace.
That is correct. We need to make these harder.
Uh-oh. 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 All right. Question five from the 50s. Take Five by the Dave Brubeck Quartet, first released in 1959, went on to become the biggest selling jazz single of all time. It is famous for its odd time signature. What is that time signature?
Six, eight.
6-8 is not correct. The answer is 5-4.
There's a clue actually in the title of the song. Nevertheless, 5-4. Okay.
Well done, though. 4 out of 5 is impressive.
4 out of 5 in the first round. Good job. Would you like the bonus questions for the 50s, or should we move on to the 60s?
Let's move on to the 60s.
Okay. Nobody's going to take the 50s bonus questions. We better just assume that's going to be the case. Although that was great, Paul. That really was.
I think we know what our tiebreaker questions will be if there ends up being a tie at the end of the week.
That's right. They'll definitely be the 50s bonus question.
Right. Okay. 1960s, question number one. What famous singer wrote the Monkees song, I'm a Believer?
Neil Diamond.
That is correct. Well done, Paul.
He doesn't even have to think about these. He just, right there. Okay.
Knocked out of the park.
Question two from the 60s. Considered a pioneering female rock musician, who was the drummer for the Velvet Underground throughout their 1960s recording career?
Mo Tucker.
That is correct. Well done.
Good job.
I'm very proud of our community. Everybody's gotten that one correct.
Yep. Okay, listen to this one carefully. Question three. In the early 60s, a Columbia Records talent scout signed a singer who, for a time at the label, was referred to as Hammond's Folly. Who was that singer?
Bob Dylan.
That is correct. Well done, Paul.
Okay.
Not an easy question, because he did sign a lot of different artists to Columbia Records.
Well, sure did.
Things worked out okay for John Hammond with that signing.
Yeah.
Question four, 1960s. In 1960, Frank Sinatra left Capitol Records and founded his own label. What was that label?
Jim, I think that's Reprise.
That is correct, Paul. Well done.
Okay. And then the fifth question, 1960s. This 1966 Beatles track on the album Revolver is notable as the first in which none of the instruments were played by John, Paul, George, or Ringo. What is that song?
Eleanor Rigby.
Wow. Correct. You nailed it, man. That is right. There was just a string octet on that song.
I did not know that. Yep. That's very interesting. That's a really good question.
What was your thought process on that? How'd you come to that?
Well, first I thought Tomorrow Never Knows, because it's got so many weird things going on, but I know Ringo's drumming on.
What's that? But you knew what?
I knew Ringo was drumming on that. So I guess I just kind of went through quickly, and then I remember the strings on Eleanor Rigby. I'm like, are there any other instruments in there? So took a guess.
There you go.
Very good. There's two other songs that they did not play on. One was She's Leaving Home, and the other was Good Night from the White Album.
Oh, okay.
Well, Paul, you got 5 out of 5 in the 60s. Very impressive. 9 out of 10 so far overall. Mm. Would you like the bonus questions for the 60s?
No, I'm going to wait.
All right.
Okay. Everybody has taken the same decade's bonus question so far.
Yeah, we'll see.
Quiz.
Don't say anything.
We'll see.
Yeah. All right. We move on to the 1970s.
Yeah.
All right. Question one. Eric Clapton's fifth solo album, released in 1977, was titled after his nickname. What is that album?
Slow Hand.
That is correct. Well done.
Good job. Okay. Question two. Also in 1977. Linda Ronstadt scored a platinum single with her cover of what Roy Orbison song?
Blue Bayou.
Very good. Very good.
By the way, I just recently read that some baseball analysts on TV used Blue Bayou. He would reference it when somebody struck out. That was like that was the Linda Ronstadt pitch at Blue Bayou. Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, now I get it.
Yeah.
I've actually heard it as a joke in motorsports too. Blue Bayou are there.
Yeah. Nice.
Okay.
We're throwing Paul out of his rhythm. Stop with all this banter.
I know. That's what I'm trying to do here. Trying to, you know, mess him up a little bit. Okay. All right. 1970s. Question number three. Seymour Stein signed punk and new wave groups The Ramones, Talking Heads, and Pretenders to his label in the mid and late 70s. What was the name of that influential record label?
Jim, that's Sire Records.
That is correct, Paul.
Very good. I'm wondering if we have to stop this after today. I don't know. All right, let's keep going. All right, let's keep going. Question four in the 1970s. Michael Jackson's first number one solo hit was in 1972, a song called Ben. Who was Ben?
Ben was a rat.
Oh, well done, Paul. That is correct, sir. I did not know that until we started this quiz. The tie-in here of what rat he was.
Yeah, there was a really creepy movie, I think, that came out.
Yeah. And I never knew that. I knew the song, but I never knew it was tied into a film.
Yep. Okay, and then the fifth question. In the 70s, radio personality Rick Dees had a novelty song hit in 1977. What was that song?
Disco Duck.
That is correct. Unfortunately, our community all know that one, too.
Yeah, it's that leaves a scar on you once you hear it.
It certainly does.
All right. Did Paul sweep the 70s here?
That's two sweeps in a row. He swept the 70s. That is a grand total of 14 out of 15 questions.
All right, Paul, would you like the 70s bonus questions or move on to the 80s?
I'll take the 70s bonus questions.
Okay. All right. 70s bonus questions.
All right. Here we go.
You're the first one to take the 70s bonus questions.
That's right.
So listeners, now you can.
Everybody went 80s. Yeah.
You're going to get some new questions here. Okay. Bonus question number one. Released in 1979, Rapper's Delight is considered the first popular rap single. It borrows the bass line from what other hit song?
Good Times.
Ooh, that is correct. You pulled it right out of the bag.
You got it.
Well Ooh. Done.
Good Times by Chic.
And I will note, these bonus questions are a little tougher than the ones in the category. Yeah. Wouldn't
we
you say,
tried.
Jim?
Yeah. We tried. Yeah.
We tried to make them a little tougher.
And technically not a sample, I don't believe. I believe they actually recorded the bass line again.
I think that's right. Yeah. Pre-sample technology, right. Or at least practice anyway.
But they did use the same bass line. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, bonus question number two. Earlier this year, Rolling Stone published its list of the 200 greatest country songs of all time. What 1973 song is in the top spot? Greatest country song of all time, according to Rolling Stone.
It should be obvious, but I'm drawing a blank. 73. Wow. Gosh. I guess I'll just throw out, help me make it through the night.
Not a bad guess at all. The answer is Jolene by Dolly Parton.
Ooh,
that was a hard one. That's a hard one.
That's a hard one.
Yep.
This is where not reading Rolling Stone doesn't help.
Well, me. I was going to say, yeah, Rolling Stone, not the arbiter of country.
Right.
I think the key there, though, is they published a list this year, so you kind of have to think of like what's now considered the greatest. Do you know what I mean? Like song is kind of in the zeitgeist lately. But anyway, now
it makes sense. Absolutely.
Okay.
Have you ever listened to the recording of Jolene? The 45 RPM recording played at 33.
No,
you got to listen to it. It's out there on YouTube.
Okay.
It's spooky how good it is, and really weird, but it's great.
Yeah, love it.
It's really weird.
Okay, where are we here? Bonus question number 3 from the 1970s. Comedian George Carlin was the host of the debut episode of Saturday Night Live in 1975. What singer hosted the second episode?
Paul Simon.
Wow, that was impressive. Correct, Paul. Well good done. Job.
Paul Simon was on that show all the time in the 70s. Yeah. So.
Pretty good guess there.
Those guys, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, bonus question number 4. Meatloaf made a famous appearance in the Rocky Horror Picture Show, but which other cast member from the film also had a music career and scored a single on the Billboard Hot 100 in 1979?
Tim Curry.
Tim Curry? Is that what you said, Paul?
Tim Curry, yeah.
That is correct. Well done.
The song was I Do the Rock?
Something like that.
I think was the name of the song.
Yeah. Now, I will say to listeners, I did give my wife these questions last night as we were preparing for the recording, and she got that one. She's a big fan of the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
All right. Good job.
I gave her props for that. Yeah, well done.
Good job, Paul. Okay. And then your 5th bonus question. Dave Edmunds notched his only top 5 U.S. single in 1970 with a song first recorded by Smiley Lewis. What is that song?
I Hear You Knocking.
Very well done. Knocked it out of the park.
Wow. Good job. I didn't think anybody would get that one.
That's a tricky one. It really is.
You got it right away. All right. So how many bonus questions did he get correct?
4 out of 5. Paul has only missed 2 questions thus far out of the 20 that have been presented. That's pretty impressive. 18 out of 20.
18 out of 20. All right.
That's right. With 2 rounds left.
All right. So now we move on to the 80s.
Okay.
Question 1. In the 80s, the Dutch band Golden Earring had a U.S. top 40 hit in 1973 with Radar Love, then didn't chart again until 1982 with what song?
Twilight Zone.
Twilight Zone, correct.
That's right.
Radar Love was number 13, and Twilight Zone was actually the bigger hit, number 10.
Hmm.
It was on the radio all the time for a while.
All the time.
Yeah. Okay. Question 2. In the 80s, although Janet Jackson had recorded 2 previous solo albums, she did not really become a star until teaming up with new producers for her album Control in 1986. Who were those producers?
You want both of them?
Yes.
That's correct.
We do need both.
Well, Jimmy Jam.
That is correct.
And someone Lewis. I can't think of it. Not Huey.
You want to take a guess at the first name?
Smiley. I don't know.
I wish we could award a half point here, but I don't think we can, Jim. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. How do they do it in Jeopardy? If you get the last name only, do you get the point?
Or you do. That's correct. They do. Yeah. Yeah. So I could see that. Yeah, I can give that. You got Lewis right away. So
I'll leave
yes.
it up to you.
Oh. Yeah, I will count that as a correct answer.
All right. It's Terry Lewis.
Terry Lewis. Paul needs the points.
All right, 80s question number 3. What song includes this lyric? In the midnight hour, I can feel your power.
I can, when you say it, I'm going to say, of course it is. I can't come up with it.
No guess?
All right, let me guess. No, I don't have a guess.
Okay. The answer is Madonna, Like a Prayer, is the correct answer. I thought this was one of the hardest questions, personally. Okay. I didn't think anyone was going to get it. Yeah.
Those are always hard for me. The spoken lyrics, I can't. Yeah. I need to hear that.
Right. Yep. We did have somebody get it earlier in the week.
We did. Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. Question 4 in the 80s. Sheena Easton had a hit song in 1984 called "Sugar Walls." What other pop star wrote that song under the pseudonym Alexander Nevermind?
Prince.
That is correct. Ding, ding, ding.
If the question is who wrote that song for another artist in the 80s, you just say Prince.
That's an educated guess. This is not the 80s. Let me just interject. These are not the 80s type questions I picture, just so you know.
All right. Okay. I think the ones you probably pictured are all in the bonus round.
could be, which you are not eligible for.
Yes. That's correct. All right.
Okay. Question 5 in the 80s. The charity single "Do They Know It's Christmas" by Band Aid was released in December 1984. Who sings the opening line in that song?
Okay. Paul Young?
Wow, bingo, baby. Yes.
I grabbed that.
That was impressive. That's the first person to get that right. That was great.
Yes, good job. All right, Paul Young.
I had to picture the video there.
Yeah, that's the way you do it. Yeah, you've got to go to the video. Yep.
Yeah, and which mullet guy was singing it? There's so many.
That was the haircut. We had an earlier guess of Bono. And the same hair was right there. So,
yeah, that was my next. I thought maybe him, maybe the from Duran Duran, but
yeah, Duran Duran would have been a good guess too.
Paul Young, yeah, he kind of fell off the radar at some point. Yeah, mm-hmm. He had a couple of hits back then. But anyway, okay. So, how many points in that round, and how many overall, Patrick?
That is another 4 out of 5 rounds. So that's 2 in a row. Well done, Paul. That is 22 right now. Out of the possible 25 points.
Stands at, really, 22 out of 25.
22 out of 25. Very impressive. Right.
Very strong showing here.
Okay. 5 questions remain.
All right, 5 questions remain. Let's just keep going. 1990s. Question 1, what album released in 1992 was the best-selling, or is the best-selling, movie soundtrack of all time?
The Bodyguard.
That is correct. Very well good. Done.
All right, question 2. What 1999 hit single by Cher is considered the first to use auto-tune to achieve a deliberate vocal effect?
Believe.
That is correct. Well done.
Very good. Question 3. On their MTV Unplugged concert, Nirvana was joined by 2 members of what other band? And they played 3 of their songs.
Beat Puppets.
That is correct. Well done, Paul.
Question 4 in the 90s. In 1992, Mary Chapin Carpenter scored a hit country single with "Passionate Kisses." What alt-country star wrote and originally recorded that song?
Lucinda Williams.
That is correct. Well Very done. I think we need Paul to help us write the questions for the next quiz.
I know. Okay. And the last question, Paul Hayden. What song includes these lyrics? I'm going to take this itty bitty world by storm, and I'm just getting warm.
No idea.
Would you like to venture a guess?
So you didn't give a year, right? Just the 90s?
90s. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to take a little. Sounds like someone with good self-esteem. Who had a lot of swagger in the 90s. I don't know.
Okay, the answer is Mama Said Knock You Out by LL Cool J.
Okay.
I think we could stump Paul on the lyrics, the spoken lyrics.
Yeah.
Now we know. Yeah. For next time, now we know.
That's his blind spot. Yeah, we'll know next time.
All right.
Very impressive.
So
very.
How did Paul do on that round?
4 out of 5.
Wow.
So that's very impressive. No less than 4 out of 5 on all of his rounds. And added another 4 points to his score to come up with a total of 26 points. 26 total points. So only missing 4 questions.
26 out of 30. Paul, yeah. You are our new leader on the leaderboard.
Right. You are awesome. On the board on top.
All right. Well, this was fun.
All right, Paul. So
well done, man.
We'll let you know at the end of the week if you end up the champion of Rock in the Suburbs music trivia.
We do have some prizes.
It was a great time. Best of luck to the other contestants.
Okay. Tune in tomorrow for our next contestant here on Music Trivia. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll see you then. So perhaps the city of Chicago then would hold a parade in your honor if you win
this. We could use a parade.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, we need a parade for something.